They all wanted to see him, they all wanted to speak to him, and I thought, I don't think that everyone can speak to him. No, that's not possible. That couldn't happen, because those guards made sure of that. And suddenly I had a feeling of insecurity and I thought to myself, oh, it's enough if I just kneel down and think, forgive all those who have caused you pain. And forgive all of us for our debts. Forgive my husband, my son and all of my children too, because they cannot believe. The teacher said to me, it won't be possible for you to come forward now. But you will be able to shake hands with him. It will happen. When? There's no rush, he said, because bliss lies ahead of us. There is no today and no tomorrow for us. Bliss is here. And yet there is a future. But we always live in bliss. You were looking forward to this meeting and you will be looking forward to the next meeting. Because it will be another great event. We were all happy. At first we were simply silent, we couldn't speak. Because everything was so quiet. Because we were only amazed. We had to focus our eyes on this beauty and couldn't utter a word about this beauty, about this theocracy that it brought with it. Suddenly the silence was broken and it was the guards who began to cheer. And we all joined in. Amid this cheering, these divine guards and their king made their way through the crowd and disappeared from our sight. Anyone who has experienced this for the first time will be moved to the depths of their soul. He sees this glory before his eyes for a long time. The experience is indelible. Wherever you go, you always have this image before your eyes. And so I was able to understand what my teacher had said, we have no past, we have no future, and yet we have the future. The experience is so constant that you feel like you are experiencing it again and again. When I tell you about it, you people cannot grasp or comprehend something like that. But you can experience it once, as I could. That was my first encounter with Christ. But this bliss should not stop me from fulfilling my tasks. I wanted to go to my husband and my son. And I went to them with my two friends. They were not together, but not far from each other. I visited them. They were amazed and only uttered one word, O Mother. There was amazement, emotion, sadness in that. They said nothing more. I had thought that my husband might be outraged, that he might still have the same temper as he did when he was a human being. But he had already lost much of his roughness, or it had been lost. I only saw that he was suffering, and so was his son. They were both in a distressed, painful situation. I could not say anything, and my two friends took me by the arm and led me away again. So I went back to my bliss. But I spoke to my teacher and said to him, I want to help them. And he replied, it is good that you want to do that, because we will go to them again, and you will even be able to go to them alone. You will be able to talk to them and help them. They must remain in their distress until they have lost the part of their guilt that has been marked by it. But you can give them relief in their distress with your visits. They will look forward to seeing you again and again. Their confidence and their hope will increase, and they will become more courageous, and they will persevere in their distress. For they know about the liberation, and you should speak to them about this liberation. So I often went to them, and I was then allowed to gradually lead up. My other children also came to the world beyond, and I had to support them too. I was allowed to be their advocate. I was able to ease their distress too. I had expanded my task in this way. I had to leave my world of bliss and had to descend to the poor souls to bring them relief. I did not do it alone. There are very, very many spirits with me. From all directions of heaven people contribute to the relief of the unfortunate. That was to remain my task. Yes, I fulfilled my task, and the teacher stood by my side. For I was still ignorant of many things about the spiritual laws. I was actually not at all curious about why something was like this or that. The main thing for me was bliss, being at home with God, with Christ, that meant everything to me. But the teacher taught me, you have to be able to share happiness. You have to support the poorest. And whoever has become spiritually strong must give of his strength to the weak. And he added, "We brought you comfort when you returned home, and so you should bring comfort and support to those poorest people. You should do as we did to you, within the limits of what is possible." So I was constantly taught, and my teacher always explained to me what tasks I should fulfill. That is what I had to say to you. So the spirits of God descend to help and serve, to lead their brothers and sisters up into the world of bliss, just as Christ also went and served and contributed to the happiness of man. Just as he wants to raise his own up, so do his faithful ones who are at his service. For they all go on his behalf and proclaim his word and his will. So, dear brothers and sisters, I return to my blissful world and leave you the blessing of God. I did not come alone, I was accompanied. I leave you with an atmosphere of elation, something very little that I have been able to bring through my story, which is intended to help you to experience the same. So I greet you in the name of all the holy spirits of heaven. God bless you. Joseph, God bless you. Now, dear brothers and sisters, if there are any questions in relation to what has been said, I would like to answer them, but only those that are related to the story. Because time has advanced and we do not want you to be in a hurry. Dear friend Joseph, can you tell us whether this being must become human again or whether it no longer has to enter an earthly existence? Joseph, I cannot say. Dear Joseph, it seems to me that the man and the son could not leave their place in the world beyond and ascend so quickly. Joseph, no, that took a long time. That only happens very slowly, step by step. Dear Joseph, how was that spouse brought up? Joseph, bad. Does the spiritual world take it into account if someone had a bad upbringing and grew up in a bad environment? Are there differences in the assessment? Joseph, to answer that, a longer explanation is actually needed. You know that children are born where they belong. But there are cases where a growing person receives an inner strength to be able to change so that the negative things he experienced in his youth, let's say his bad upbringing, do not accompany him in life. Instead, he tells himself that such things must not happen in his own future family. Here everything depends on the individual person, what he is able to do with what he has experienced. It also depends on the person's strength of faith, on his real attitude to the divine world. One person can overcome everything and only wants to strive for something higher and better. Another says to himself, "I have had it bad, the others should not have it better. I had it like that too." And he gives off the same harshness, the same malice that he himself had to experience, instead of changing himself and saying, "I don't want to pass on the suffering that I myself have experienced, but I now want to transform the suffering into goodness, I now only want to give love, understanding and goodness." But you have to make the spiritual effort to do that, and a spiritually more elevated being can come to such a determination. But those who rise from the depths lack the determination to carry it out. So in a certain sense is upbringing partly responsible for a person's bad behavior? Joseph, partly responsible. Is it possible, dear Joseph, to give us a picture of this appearance of Christ? Joseph, that's not possible now, the time is over. But we'll try to talk about it another time. We thank you, dear Joseph. Joseph, well, dear brothers and sisters, may God's blessing accompany you. May he watch over and protect you on all your paths. God bless you. Report of the Ascending Spirit being Amelia and answers to questions from Spirit Teacher Joseph by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case, June 2, 1965. Peter, died in his youth. Choice of career and training in the world beyond. Control Spirit. God bless you. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit brother by the name of Peter is speaking to you. May God's blessing come upon you all. God bless you. Peter, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Peter. I died when I was 17 years old. I was not clear about the future world during my lifetime. When I entered this new world, my grandmother came up to me. She was very happy that I had come home. She did stress that my parents were very sad now, but that time would heal the wounds and the sadness would also subside somewhat. This was how she expressed her great joy, and she immediately invited me to her place. I would also like to stress that it was not just my grandmother who was there to greet me, but there were also strangers there. I did not pay them any attention, because they were strangers to me. I was happy that I at least had an acquaintance, a dear acquaintance, my grandmother. The strangers to me had also left again without paying any more attention to me or asking about me. It seemed to me as if my grandmother had already been informed of everything. So she invited me into her house. It was a small house that she lived in, and she was not alone. She actually had to share this house with others. But she had her own personal rooms, and the others did not come into them, so she had her own apartment. This apartment was very neatly furnished and I was amazed. I picked up the various objects, looked at everything and said to my grandmother, "I actually find it strange that this new world is so similar to the earthly world. Actually, one imagines the world beyond to be quite different." But then I had to say, "Of course one needs these things that are here too, and one also loves beauty and comfort. But if people knew that, they would be amazed at the new world." I was actually quite indifferent to the fact that I had had to leave the earthly world. I had been ill for some time and had not really had much interest in human life, and I was happy to be in this new world. There were so many new impressions for me, and I had the impression that this new world could be quite interesting. Grandmother had given me her full attention. I was able to make myself comfortable in her home. I also wanted to know what she was actually doing all the time. She couldn't possibly live in these rooms all the time, or whether they only went for walks, whether there were any entertainments. So I asked, "You must also go to church or to prayer, or what do you call it?" I didn't know. Grandmother explained it to me and said, "Yes, you will be amazed when I tell you everything that happens in this new world. You are young, we are all young when we come home. For we have laid aside our earthly body when it was tired and sick, we had given it back to the earth, and the spirit is not old, the spirit is young, we look young." Indeed, grandmother had no grey hair and no wrinkled face, she looked truly youthful. I had paid her that compliment right at the beginning. But her appearance was still as similar to that of her human life as I could remember when I was a boy. So I was taught that much, but I myself had the impression that I looked much younger than her. Even though grandmother looked so good, I was, as I felt, quite young and youthful. "Well," she said to me, "of course, life here is completely different for you, or will be completely different. As a human being, you have not yet been able to fulfill any tasks, but I have fulfilled my tasks. Now you have to work hard in this new world, you have to make up for what you were unable to accomplish in human life. You see, you were not able to learn a profession, you had no special duties. Your parents looked after you, and the time had not yet advanced far enough for you to have entered into a professional life. But here it all has to be made up for." "Yes," I listened to grandmother, "but I wanted to know, what are you doing all the time?" Then she said, "Look, Peter, you may still remember grandfather, the house we had. We had a beautiful garden, and when I had time, I was always in the garden, there was always a lot to do. I loved this garden, I loved the flowers, and I loved the animals, so I had more than enough work. And now I have to keep myself busy in the garden here too and look after a garden, but it is not so small. I will show it to you later. Perhaps garden is not the right word for it anymore, because it is very big and much more beautiful and requires much, much more work. But it is also very interesting." I listened, and we chatted, and we had fun together, because grandmother took me outside and we looked at the surroundings together. She told me about this and that, how they were doing in the new world, but she also did not forget to ask about her relatives and also about acquaintances and relatives. Grandmother had already been in the spiritual world for 7 years according to your human calculation of time. Then she said to me, "You know, at first I had a longing to always return, even though grandfather was here. But I was longing, for me and for all the other grandchildren." She was longing for the house in general, for everything that had occupied her entire life. The new world, she said, was foreign to her and she was always happy to return, but then she realized that you are no longer appreciated when you come back. They don't see or hear you, they don't want to hear or see you. So she decided to stay away from this earthly world, because it really had nothing new to offer. It was much more interesting in the new world that people had entered, and so she kept herself busy there. Her house and her work had been assigned to her from higher up, from the moment she decided to stay away from the earthly realms. And so she told me that she was now very happy that she had now found her task. But she was still interested in how this and that person were doing. As we were chatting together, we received a visitor, and this visitor announced himself as a guiding spirit. He said that he now had the task of taking me with him. I had now had a relaxing time with my grandmother. I would like to emphasize that I had also had the opportunity to rest. My grandmother had always been at my side. Well, this leading spirit, as he introduced himself, now had the task of looking after me. He was very kind, sat down at the table with us and told me something about my future. He said that the time had come for me to start my tasks too. I was now rested and had become somewhat familiar with a new world and so nothing stood in the way of me being able to join in. He spoke of going to school and also of me having to do regular work, and I simply accepted this. Grandmother had talked me into it and explained that everything would be fine as it was arranged and that I should visit her or she would visit me. So we promised each other to visit each other, as soon as we were able. The leading spirit said that, of course, we would not live in the same area. I was allowed to live a little further up, on a higher level than my grandmother, and when I had visitors, I had to go to my grandmother, because it was not possible for her to visit me. So we said goodbye. We parted with many good wishes from each other, and I trusted this spiritual guide. He then crossed over with me to this other level. It seemed to me that the surroundings I had to move into were a little nicer. I had also appreciated my grandmother's surroundings, and I found it very nice to live there, but, as in the earthly realm, as far as I could remember, there are certain spots and places that differ in beauty, so that one can live in a nicer place in the same city. So I was led into another city. On the way, my companion told me that I would come to a house where a spiritual mother would greet me. At the same time that I will now enter the house, others who have died at about the same age as me will also enter the. I was, by human reckoning, 70, and the spiritual guide told me that the youngest of them was 16 according to earthly calculations and the oldest 18. So 16, 17, 18, that was the age we were now to be together. That's how he told it to me. He had prepared me and explained to me that there would then be a joint greeting. So we entered this house that he had named. It seemed to be like a country house and had a lot of greenery around it, although the spiritual guide had said that it was a city. You could go into the city, but this city was so big and had a lot of greenery and its lakes and streams. It was a very beautiful city. Now we had arrived there, and even before we entered we were greeted by this spiritual mother. She greeted me and already knew my name. She said to me, "Yes, in your human life you had the name Peter, but this is only temporary. We will call you Peter now, but later we will give you a completely different name. Don't you think that there are much nicer names than just Peter?" I agreed. This spiritual mother seemed so familiar and spoke to me as if she had known me for a long time. She said to me, "I will look after you like your biological mother, and we will be a big family together here." A big family is perhaps an exaggeration. I will tell you in a moment how big this family became. So my companion and I were the first to enter this house. A large room had been opened up for us. That was to be our living space. It was very beautiful, and I really had to marvel at the things that were there. There was a very beautiful table. I had the feeling that it was made of a very strange wood, but of course I couldn't tell what kind of wood it was. The chairs also seemed very comfortable and very beautiful to me. It had a magnificent chandelier, it had large, far-reaching arms, and so it lit up the whole room. And what really struck me about this new world was that it was always bright, and yet they had chandeliers. When they were lit, they gave off a pleasant light, but it was not the monotonous light that people know from their artificial light, but the light that radiates from these chandeliers is like a ray of sun. It shines like sunbeams, and the colors change when these lights shine. It is beautiful in these different colors, and so I loved it right from the start when these lights shine. But they were not always lit, but since it was about receiving us, this large, far-reaching candlestick directed its rays in all directions. It then seemed to me as if this floor was covered with fine moss. I stood so softly on this carpet and had the feeling as if I were a person in the forest with moss. It was so alive. I also couldn't really determine what material it was made of or how it was made. That didn't concern or interest me too much at the beginning. It was the overall impression that impressed me so much. Now there were also very valuable pieces of furniture and various seating in this room, and I just had to admire them. So, it seemed like they had made us very comfortable. Then this mother said, "Yes, come on. If you're the first one here, then you should welcome the others too. They'll be coming now too." And I went with this spiritual mother in front of the house, and there we were supposed to greet everyone who was arriving. So my spiritual guide stood next to me and was also happy when someone came back to the house. The mother, when I say mother I mean this spiritual mother, always went up to the new brother, greeted him very vividly and said that he was now finding a new home and would fulfill his new tasks from here. This is how we were introduced to each other. In my human life I had been raised in the Catholic faith. When you get to the world beyond, that is, closer to God, then, so you think, the faith you had in your human life plays an important role. I had been raised in the Catholic faith. But in the early days in the world beyond I had actually not encountered anything special that could have reminded me of the Catholic life. I had been with my grandmother for a while, we had prayed together, as people pray, and my grandmother had said to me that we could pray in our home, she meant the house, just as well as people on earth prayed in church. So we prayed in our house, we didn't go to a temple or anything like that. I was there for a relatively short time. This just to add. Then, when the new brother came, he was introduced to us, and we were also told his name, which he had borne in the earthly world. The mother said the same thing to him, "Yes, we will give you a different name. For the time being you can still keep the name you had during your life, after all you must have a name. But later we will have a celebration and give you the true spiritual name." This other, the second one who had come, was introduced to us, and it was explained that he had been brought up in the Orthodox faith. Well, I was a Catholic, and he had been brought up in the Orthodox faith. That didn't bother me. I felt safe, I knew, now I am in the kingdom of heaven, after all, and things will be fine there, and I didn't presume to make any comment or pass judgment, because my brother was received just as warmly by his mother as I was. I was interested in what it looked like inside, where we were now to live together in the future. He was amazed, as I was, at the things he touched and said, "Just like me, if they," and by that they meant the parents, "knew how nice we have it, they wouldn't cry for us anymore." That was his opinion, and that was my opinion too. But we were called out, because others were coming, and the reception was not in the house, but in front of the stairs of the house. Now they came, one after the other, and each was accompanied by a spiritual guide. Now I will list them. At first there were two of us. The third, who came with a spiritual guide and was introduced to us, said that he was a Jew, brought up in the Jewish faith. Then another came, he said that he was a Muslim and had been brought up in that faith. Then another one came and said that he had been brought up in the Protestant faith. That was the question that was asked straight away. Because the heavenly world is a world of faith. So you had to say what faith you had had on earth or what faith you had been born into. No one was particularly blamed for our mistakes in life. Everyone had probably made mistakes, had made some mistakes, but nobody spoke about them. So these spiritual leaders said goodbye to us, because we had all been entrusted to our spiritual mother. We had a nice home, they said, and we should diligently fulfill our tasks. Our mother would teach us everything else for the time being. I had the feeling that they had not taken us fully into their own hands, that is, they had not asked us to give a great account of ourselves. They were very lenient with us, so that we had the feeling that they had actually accepted us like grown-up children. And that was the case. Our spiritual mother was very kind, but she was also very strict. Everyone was immediately assigned a place in this room, and we had another, larger common room that we could also use and that was hardly distinguishable from the other in terms of its beautiful furnishings. But the common room, where we would have our meetings together, was the one we entered first. Everyone had their place, so to speak, their table, their own objects, and everyone could actually make themselves quite comfortable. Then our mother spoke to us and said what my spirit guide had already explained to us or to me. We had not fulfilled our tasks in life, now we had to try to catch up in the world beyond and we had to enter into professional life. We looked at each other. Into professional life? I had secretly looked forward to the beautiful life here, even though we talked about tasks. It was clear to me that the world was not closed where I was with my brothers. But we had hoped for a fairly comfortable life together. Now our spiritual mother began to talk about working life. We now had to go out into working life. Then she said, "None of you have learned a profession. It was not possible, you are much too young. So you must learn a profession here." We looked at each other again, "Learn a profession? We are in heaven after all," everyone probably thought, like me. "Are professions really necessary? Do we have to practice a profession?" The spiritual mother did not respond to our hesitation, but said to us straight away, "Well, dear children, do you actually believe that in this new world the objects you see here simply came into being on their own? What do you think? Everything that is here, from the smallest, from the most insignificant to the most delicious, everything had to be worked for, everything needed working hands, it needed skilled hands and intelligent beings. Those who are intelligent, who have skill, will do the work accordingly. So you must now learn a profession, each according to his ability." And then she listed a few professions for us, we could think about them, she would give us time, we could talk to each other about these professions, and then she would come back and ask. We could talk to each other, nobody spoke the same language as the other, so to speak, everyone spoke a different language. How could we talk to each other? Yes, like children do, you speak with your hands, you make movements, that's how we could communicate. The spiritual mother said, "The first thing that is needed now is, you must learn languages, you must learn to understand each other. We will learn all the languages that are spoken by the brothers here." The mother spoke all these languages, she could talk to everyone in their language. So we could communicate with her, and she would then answer the other in his language if we wanted to ask something, because she was there to look after us. But she was not just a teacher, she was supposed to be a mother to us. She had a lot of kind and comforting words for us, and we also needed encouragement and sometimes a little strictness, but everything was done with great love, like with a mother. So she had to start our first lessons and we began to learn these different languages. Of course, this took a long time, but we were very eager to learn and were soon able to understand the bare essentials to be able to speak to each other. Then she said that we would have to leave the house and would be involved in our professions. She listed the professions that she thought we could choose one of. She listed the profession of shoemaker. She said this in different languages so that everyone could understand her. No one agreed to learn this profession. Everyone was probably burdened with a human memory. So shoemaker, no, 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 no one wanted that. Tailor? Even less so. But mother had to point out the following: if we were to attach importance to being well dressed, we would need shoes, we would need clothes. They are not just there, they have to be worked for, she said.